Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to week 6 of the Ed series on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And joining me is our co-host, former AAF coach, defensive coordinator at the college level, offensive state champion, Rob Everett. Rob, good to be talking ball with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Playoff races are starting to take shape at the high school ranks, right?
Yes, we are at that time where the conference races are starting. The playoff pictures are starting to come in focus. There's still a lot of season to play and a lot of things can happen, but those things are right around the corner for us. And a big focus, the thing we talked a lot in the preseason about was training loads, right? With some high performance coaches like Kurt Hester at Louisiana Tech, coaches, you know, position coaches, coordinators, and just thinking about how they keep their team sharp over the course of the season. And, you know, it is a time where we do want to consider how much training load as far as having those guys on their legs as the season wears on, certainly the amount of contact we want to put into that. But we also have to balance that with we got to stay sharp, right? And so one of the advantages, we've talked about this a lot, but I want to apply it today to this time of the season, is how do we get those mental reps? How do we stay sharp within what we're doing without maybe putting the physically taxing elements of practice time, of contact, into it? And for a great article on mental reps, we talked with an offensive line coach from Ferris State this past year, and I'll put that in there. He has a great method for mental reps. So check that out as a link in our show notes. But Rob, the Go Army Edge app, we talk about this all the time on this podcast. You and I are big believers in it. Number one, because it's the right price. It is free. Number two, I think it's very easy to use. The training time, like I told our listeners before, it was about an hour. If we took an hour and sat down, we could have the basics of what we need to do. And the app has made it even easier because there's a lot of built-in templates.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, you know, I tell coaches all the time that there's a couple of things that it's just going to be like anything else. Like when you turned on, you know, Microsoft Word the first time, there were some tricks and things like that that you had to get comfortable with. And you get used to it and you see its power and it can open some things up to you. Now, this is no different. You turn that thing on and expose yourself to it. But what I tell people is that, you know, start small, and certainly at this point in the season, start pre-snap so you can really get your players thinking before those ball snaps, but it's also from an ease of creation where you're not drawing a bunch of lines and people moving all around. You're basically just making, you know, formation recognition that you're doing on a chalkboard or you're doing on with cans and things like that. And then the last piece about virtual reality, and I travel the country talking about this because I am in a passionate believer in its value, is that it really has more to do with the players than it does the coaches. You know, that this vehicle is not necessarily what a coach may want to do, but there are players on your team at every level guaranteed that, you know, may not be able to understand where what a line on a board means. You know, so giving them a different vehicle, a different medium to interact with it. And then I think, you know, you hit it with the physical demands that a season has. You know, you have to think smart. And, you know, everybody's starting to get ready for that playoff push. You know, the goal is not 10 games or 9 games. The goal is, you know, 15, depending on your state, 16, 14, whatever it might be. And that's, you know, an extra third of the season, essentially, you have to play. And, you know, legs get tired. And there's a real thing. And you think about it, there's a lot of turf fields out there all over the country now. Turf fields are hard on legs. You know, I know that as a 39-year-old coach, standing on the field for, you know, 2.5 hours, 3 hours is tiring. It wears you out. You know, imagine what that does to an athlete, you know, who then has to go perform at a high level on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. So what are the things that can be taken off the field that won't harm the process? And that's where, you know, virtual reality can really take the place of those walkthroughs or those things that you're doing that every coach is doing on the field. Maybe we can move this into a classroom, or even better, maybe we can move it to the player's home where they're doing it on their own and you're providing ownership in the process to the player.
Yeah, and Rob, I think we look at how we can get this done, how we can manage it, and I think you've seen some really creative applications from an NFL team who's going to put in a 50-foot screen to a high school program with very little budget space facilities that finds a way to get this done. So, you know, what's the minimum as you're looking at this that you would do in terms of being able to make this very effective for your either your unit, your position group, the team? What are you looking for to get this done?
Well, I would start off with, like I said, pre-snap. But if you think about the easiest things to duplicate in simulation, because it all happens before the snap, and the most powerful are blitz pickup to the offensive line and protection identification, which involves the quarterbacks, which involves running backs in addition to the offensive line, and is vital, as an offensive cat, formation recognition for the defense. And then the one that kind of gets lost in the shuffle here is punt protection, identification. And that's a big push on the highest level, because you look at the NFL rosters are limited. So, there's some top end roster guys that have to play special teams. And, I've been at some NFL practices when it's special teams periods. I mean, there are some people that are straight up hiding, but I've also seen some teams that are using virtual reality to train for it. And they're able to show, for example, it's about, 10 to 13 punt return, punt block looks that they'll see in a given week. You can rapid fire those things in 10, 15 minutes at the professional level, identifying those things and getting into a closed space and giving them the visual, can be pretty powerful. So I think those are the three things for each phase of the game that coaches can literally start doing right now. Because of the way that at least the Go Army Edge app is created is there's a template of every formation that you could think of. And then there's, every defensive personnel grouping that you could think of that's already in there. You copy that book, change your terminology to match what you call it. And then you can start dragging plays and adding huddles. So you can get huddles broken. You can get fronts lined up and punt protection. And when you talk about not drawing lines, if you're just moving pieces around, that becomes pretty easy. And then built in, obviously, is to be able to copy a play, flip a play, move an entire play on the hash. And so I started doing this for a couple of high school teams, actually. They just said, will you start doing formation recognition for us? I've been getting there. They send me their scouting report, and I get their formation recognition. I get three drills done in about half an hour. And then this is, I'm just looking, going straight off the numbers, making their top five, six formations, put them on the hash, put them into the boundary, put them in the middle of the field, change your backfield set, and I can get those things done in about half an hour. And then, boom, they're able to go through with their players and throw those formations at them as many times as they want to.
And in terms of the application of this, I mean, we could send our guys home and they can have this on their phone and do extra work in virtual reality if they wanted. But most likely, we would have to have some guys really into it and understand it. It might be tough to get that implemented with them at this point in the season. You probably would want to start that off-season training. Definitely something to think about for the new year and putting together installs in virtual reality for your guys. However, the projector right now and the 3D simulations, I think, are best. Rob, what's for this to be effective? What's the minimum? I mean, is it a standard screen? Do you want to find a bigger wall? I know in the NFL facilities, got a huge space where those guys can line up and it looks like life size against them. But what makes this, I guess, the most effective in terms of, what a high school team can do?
Well, I think if you're looking at the focus, if you're looking at the individual, that's your focus. Just the phone can be pretty powerful. But if you're talking about a unit, every high school in the country now has, has projectors in their classrooms. A classroom environment is powerful. It gets it done. As you think about, that's what you're watching film up there on. And this is essentially replacing the film with where you're the director. You get to put the camera wherever you want to. So all those things that we've all done before where we're going to look exactly like this, or how would we line up to this, except you say it's exactly like that, but there's, half the people on the field are saying, except for that guy, except for that guy, except for that guy. And then it really becomes none of that. So a single screen just projected up in a classroom can be effective. When you're talking about identifying positions of people coming out of a huddle, or identifying, safeties, we usually put our focus on a single screen you know, at the high school level, if you just kind of picture it just outside the hashes, you know, that's a pretty good view because you can tell most of the information from that view right there. You know, you're going to be able to tell a lot about a corner alignment, even if you can't see it on a screen by looking at the safety. And also, you know, think about how powerful that is where you're saying, are they bringing pressure or not? You know, are the safeties capping the overhangs, things like that, you know, what are some demeanor up front? You can create that. And even if some things aren't being shown on the screen, you can really deduce a lot of that stuff, you know, with that viewpoint that you're given. And then, you know, the last view is going into an auditorium or cafeteria, you know, a big single screen projector, you know, especially if it's mounted on the ceiling, you can get your defensive front or your offensive line, and you can get them in there and make those decisions just like the guys at the highest level are. Obviously, those walls that are being built are pretty impressive, but you can get the same kind of, literally the same concept. And the bigger you project it, the more you can get people in front of it. But, you know, I try to say training the mind and the body together, you know, if that's the case, get people up off their feet. Let's get as big a screen as we can.
With the smaller classroom situation, the smaller screen, do you feel like it's necessary to have these guys on their feet? Do you want that interactivity, or is it best to keep them like in a desk and, you know, so they're sitting down and looking at the screen? How would you go about that?
I think that you can kind of make that choice, number one, based on what your team is about and then also what the focus is. You know, if we're really teaching something, you know, getting that more traditional environment of them, you know, sitting and hopefully writing, you know, is important. But whenever we're assessing or asking questions or it's an interactive meeting, which most of our things are, you know, try to get up as much as possible, because that's the way that, you know, everything is played. You know, we're moving, we're communicating, we're talking. And that's what we're trying to do with virtual reality, is simulate that environment. So you certainly can do that on your feet, but there is value to sitting in a chair and having a conversation that is more, you know, conversation based rather than reacting to what you're seeing up there. It's more about, you know, pondering what you're seeing up there.
Rob, the special team side of this really has my interest in, especially because punt, you know, you mentioned looking at punt blocks, and I think that's a great application of this, of understanding where all those things are coming, because it's very hard to recreate with a scout team in practice and usually what amounts to a 10-minute period. So you can get so much more mental work on this to get guys to the right places to make those blocks. But when I look at the punt teams today and how we used to probably line up, we would see maybe three different punt formations over the course of a season. And now with the shield punt and the way guys think about this, there's so many things that you see with, you know, guys spread out across the field, guys in clusters here or there, just all the way different teams are aligning with the shield punt to get guys downfield and in lanes. You certainly want to be very careful that you're not leaving ineligible covered, or that, you know, you're getting the blocks that you want with those particular guys. So I could see a lot of value on the punt team side of it too. And then just thinking it through, you know, again, I have limited time, I have limited reps. Do I need for my guys on a kickoff team, let's say, to be back and see guys coming at them, you know, as the camera's moving maybe in a first person or just above those guys looking downfield at all the different, you know, maybe they're switching lanes and two becomes three and three becomes two. And, you know, you're trying to handle those kinds of things. So a lot of application too for just making sure that everybody's assignment sound with the different things that you might see over the course of the week. And again, get more reps, because we know this just in diagramming, you know, your special teams play, right? You go from having that template that's maybe 30 yards that you're going to put the whole scheme and draw up all 22 on, to now usually you see everybody stretching those out to like 70 yards, right? So because these are long space plays with a lot of running, and certainly you could cut those down and be creative with how you drill certain segments in practice, but you're still going to get a very limited amount of looks. And I think now this gives you that opportunity to really be able to put a focus on the mental side of making sure your assignment sound on special teams.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you think about the space that's involved in installation on a field in special teams. You know, we've all seen it before where, you know, someone's trying to install on the field the kickoff return team. It's like, you know, you got the frontline guys and everybody's yelling, are you truly engaged and understanding? Then you talked about the, you know, the higher level part of being able to, you know, demonstrate this is where your lane is. This is what the double team that you're going to be cutting off. There's no question that you can reproduce that stuff. But, you know, I want to go back to what you were saying about the punt team. I worked for Coach Clark at Bridgewater. He's the head coach at Bridgewater. And, you know, he's at, as he calls it, the fourth quarter of his career. But he's a Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech guy. So special teams are hugely important to it. We first met when he actually brought me down to clinic up his staff on the use of virtual reality and training. But, you know, he's really grabbed a hold of it. When he hired me as the defensive coordinator, and then even since I've left, but he puts all of his looks for the, they call it the pride team. He puts all the different alignments that they're going to use and where to go and the identification of the punt rush team. And that's why I like the pro game better than college and high school, because it's the Wild West with the things that people can do on special teams from a punt standpoint. But so using that idea to put all that stuff up there is huge. And then, you know, the last thing is, you know, you think about field goal PAT, or I guess in this case, PAT, you know, the muddle huddle is such a big part of people's PATs now. I think, you know, most teams have something like that in there. And I remember when it first started, the whole concept was we may never actually run a play out of this. It's just more to, you have to align to it and you're going to have to spend time in practice and waste that stuff. You know, so what we found was using virtual reality, we were able to steal that time back almost, because, hey, all we have to do is line up. If you line up to this properly, they will not run the play or they will kick the ball. And that's what the muddle huddle is. So, you know, we would have these things that were built in saying, you know, here's our muddle huddle alignment with this is exactly what you do. Now, we would still rep it on the field, no question. But, you know, it wouldn't be that Wednesday or Thursday scrambling 10 minutes to get it in, because the players would have it on Monday or Tuesday on their own, even if we didn't get to it on Wednesday. So it's about exposing the players to things and giving them a vehicle to be prepared for when they see it on the field and maximize that time.
Yeah, and I think as I hear all the things we've talked about here, it is, I think, pre-snap into maybe just a couple seconds into post-snap where you're getting all the recognition keys that you need, right? So if you are looking, for example, and you have your quarterback who really needs to understand rotation of the defense, for example, and he has his indicator that he's looking at and wants to see what that particular guy does in order to drive his progression or know where he needs to take his eyes to next, that can happen in just a couple seconds. And it's about getting as many of those reps as you can. Great simulation application with him right there by the screen, but also good in VR for him too. And you know, we talked about this. It's as easy as if you got a big screen or a flat screen, I should say, in your meeting room, classroom, whatever, you can hook an Apple TV up to that and see exactly what your guy's looking at and be able to coach his vision through that. So, you know, the thought processes and the vision of what's happening, the recognition, is something that you can train very efficiently. Because even if I just wanted to go through and put my quarterback through, let's say, a 10-minute, very mental period, he's not throwing the ball, but he's, you know, he's seeing rotation, etc., I could set that up out on the field. But every single time, I got to tell that scout team what to do. I got to get them aligned the right way. I want to ensure nobody's messing that up because there's a certain way that the other team runs it. Create it in virtual reality. Much more efficient. You're going to get way more reps, and you can talk through the thought process with your guy as you see it unfold.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just, you know, if you're going to have movement, you just need those first two steps, because it's certainly out of the coach's hands once those first two steps happen. There's so many different variables that can come into play. But if they're able to understand those things, you know, and you said it, you don't have to get a scout team, number one, there, and then number two, get that scout team or those guys given a look to be, do it properly with the instruction that you're trying to give them. When I spent this offseason, a good friend of mine, John Shields, at Centerville High School, his son is taking over at the quarterback position. I was over at his house, and, you know, we were talking with him about, you know, defensive identification. So I'd just come off my season in Memphis where I moved to offense and really learned about how offensive guys talk about defense, which was a fascinating journey, as we talked about before. But, you know, I got to talking about with him about, you know, this is what you call this front. This is what you call this coverage. This is how you know this coverage is coming. This is what, you know, this means, you know, and we were able to create this sort of practice book that it basically recapped what we had talked about. And it was, I sent him a couple PDFs of it also, of our playbook, but, I gave him the visual of like, this is what a 25 front looks like. And this is what it does. And this is where the shades are. And these are the coverages that come off it. And I gave him that view right from his own helmet. And I think there's a lot to it for the teaching of the game, to really reach the individual and the person on their own level. And I think there's, the quarterback certainly is the most common position that really dives in and teaches that way. But I think that same concept can be applied to every position, in all the phases of the game.
I know we've talked about this in several episodes, but again, just trying to think about how we can make our practices more efficient as the season goes on, as you may be on a practice field without lights. So in another few weeks here, the daylight is going to be decreased for you as well. Thoughts, Rob, on how you carry this out? Again, I think some of it is just dictated by, your facilities and what's available. But if you were going to do some of these things, do you prefer it pre-practice? Do you prefer it post-practice?
I think getting it, just because the simulation is designed to replicate practice, I try to get this information to the players as soon as you can. And this is true in training camp, in the season, whatever. You think defensively, if you gave the players the formation recognition and the calls, because you can put that right on the screen, if you gave the formation recognition and the calls of what they're going to see in team that day, because, you're talking Tuesday and Wednesday, you're not trying to trick the players at that point. Where you want them to be able to be comfortable and trigger the synapse so they can make good decisions. That's how we always approach this, where here's the formation. This isn't just random stuff. This is what you're going to see before practice. So if you're uncomfortable with something or if you're uncomfortable with a call, figure it out beforehand so that you can get comfortable with it, because practice time is precious. Guy we know, Jerry Gordon, put something on Twitter this week about how, precious practice time and practice film is. And how many times you can take yourself to it where, a play was messed up on film and not in a good way and not in a teaching way. And that's a rep you can't get back, so maximizing and perfecting the stuff that you're going to. And then supplement with, if there's someone who struggled and these are the plays that you struggled with, now you can follow up on the back end with, here it is again from your own view. This is the overall concept. Let's slow this down. And now we have film of it. And then we have the actual representation of it. And I can tell you a story. My last year at Westfield High School in 2015, we were playing Oscar Smith High School, a big time program down in the Virginia Beach area. And they ran this rocket screen. That was their thing. And on Monday's practice, we couldn't fit it out. You couldn't find one clip. And this was a place we're filming with drones and we have cameras everywhere. You couldn't find one clip of us properly fitting this play. So what we did was we got done with practice. We went in there and I drew up, this is what it's supposed to look like. And so the next day when we had meetings before practice, we flashed up the play of the film. This is what we did. And this is what it came out to be. And I still remember this number. They averaged 1.7 yards a play on that play in the state championship game after, a 10-plus average or something before that. But it was the simulation that allowed us to replace the film that, just wasn't there.
Well, Rob, some more great ideas here. And would we be able to get a few of these clips as examples to put in our show notes of kind of the different aspects of what we talked about today?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put up some screenshots and some screen records. There's in the Go Army Edge app, there's actually screen recording built in. So you can press something right from your phone and it goes to your photos and you can text things out. You can import them into your video system. You can do a lot of different things by adding it in there. So absolutely, I'll give you a bunch of examples of things and get people's creative minds going.
Well, check those out on our show notes at blog.usafootball.com. Please check out the Go Army Edge app at GoArmyEdge.com. Follow Coach Everett on Twitter. It's a great follow. A lot of interaction right now since he doesn't have a team this year. That's at 9 in the box, N-I-N-E, in the box. I'm at Coach K. Grabowski. And follow our Twitter handle for football coaches at FBDEV Coach. We talk about tackling on here quite a bit. We have our advanced tackling system as well as our system for blocking and defeating blocks. I think a lot of great drills that can help you at this time of the year, and that's available at footballdevelopment.com. Rob, as always, great talking ball with you, and I look forward to another week of The Edge next week.
No doubt, Coach. Have a great week. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.